Blog Talk Radio.
Yesterday, whose birthday it is? It's interesting when you think about Darwin and the people that actually have to say that they believe what he taught. At least one of the things he taught that he would probably really like to unteach right now. But it's his birthday too. Now I wonder who's more. I don't even know if I want to say important, but. Someone you might want to listen to and read up a little bit more about Abraham Lincoln or Charles Darwin. Here's the deal. Abraham Lincoln was a man, made mistakes. We can't deify him. We can't make him a father of our country because he was literally many years in to the formation of this country, almost 100 years in. So, good guy, did some neat stuff. I'm sure he did some bad stuff. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we need to remember that. But if you're looking at someone to maybe pattern your life after, the good stuff that Lincoln did, that'd be a good thing. The stuff that Darwin did, I would say that it would be a foolish mistake to pattern your life after that man. He was a fool, and a man that says there is no God is a fool. And that's not just me. I watched a video today with my wife. I watched it once myself, then had Murray tune in, and the video about the sun, Murray. And NASA has done a 5-year, over 1,800 days, over 200 million photographs. Just phenomenal research, as it were, pictorially, of the sun. And watching sunspot activity, solar flares, as they're called. And you look at the sun, and then you see how big it is in comparison to the Earth. And how our Earth spins on its axis, 20, 25,000 miles an hour. I'm probably wrong on that number, but it's pretty fast. You'd think we'd go flying off if it wasn't for gravity. Well, we would. It's like on the biggest merry-go-round you can possibly think of, okay? And it spins once around every 24 hours. And then that little thing we're on called the Earth circles the sun once every 365 days. And they did this for 5 years, taking pictures of the sun. And you see these solar flares. You see the molten, just unbelievableness of this orb that doesn't, there's nothing known to man, nothing known to us that would function on the sun or near the sun. If we were closer to the sun by just a short distance, we'd be too hot. If we were further away, we'd freeze. I mean, it's just such an absolute indicator to anyone with a brain in at least admitting the aspect of intelligent design, a new phrase that's kind of come to the top here recently in dealing with the people who have a brain and say, okay, I don't think it just went pop and happened. There is intelligent design. Now, many of those people would probably go with ancient astronauts and aliens from other planets and, Kelron or, Kevlar, I don't know, whatever kind of planet you want to come up with, Krypton, But in all reality, at least we're into the point of intelligent design. I believe in intelligent design, and I believe that intelligence is God. And when you look at the Earth, you look at the planets, you look at the sun, and you see this molten thing that is in an orb, a round ball orb, floating out in Earth, stationary, or out, pardon me, out in space, and the Earth moves around it. It's the center. We're not the center of everything. The sun, interesting, the sun. Anyway, but the sun is the center, and it's there, and yet nothing we know can survive it. If you had steel that was feet, miles thick, and approached the sun with it, I don't know off the top of my head, but it's many, many, many degrees Kelvin. Now, I believe it's millions of degrees, but I don't know the exact amount, but it would vaporize. People, ships, everything would vaporize, and that's not by landing or getting, you know, a couple of hundred miles from the sun, but it's amazing when you look at the entirety of it. And the moon, which governs the light that is on this Earth during the night, doesn't have its own light. It's reflecting the light of the sun. It's a mirror as it is, and as it would. And I look at this phenomenal creation and how it didn't just happen. It didn't just happen. There is intelligent design, and his name is God. His son is Jesus, and he sent his Holy Spirit. Why? Well, because he loves us. I'm gonna set the stage for either tomorrow or Monday of finally getting to the part in chapter 4 of 1 John to talk about love, because that's what this is about. God loves us. He so loves the world. Remember, not everyone's a child of God, but God loves every child. God loves everyone. God loves everyone, but not everyone's a child of God. And I read this a couple of days ago, and it probably bears, you know, repeating. God loves each and every person. This is by Anne Graham Lotz. God loves each and every person who has ever been born in the human race. God loves the Eskimo living in an ice hut, a Chinese living in a bamboo lodge, the African living in a mud hut, the homeless living in a cardboard box, the Bedouin living in a tent, the Indian living in a teepee, the royals living in a palace, the slum dweller living in a housing project. God loves the whole world. God loves you. God loves even me. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say everyone on planet Earth is a child of God, but the Bible does say God loves everyone on the planet Earth. And we can call God our Father when we come to him in a personal relationship through his faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's a very important comment to think about and remember. But what happens is there's a lot of lying spirits out there, and the cautions of having fellowship is to be very aware of the lying spirits. Look what it says in chapter 4, 1 John, verse 1. Chapter 4, 1 John, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Now he's going to show us how to know the Spirit of God, not how to know false spirits. We don't learn the false when we learn the real Spirit of God. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Now, let's do it again. Every spirit that confesses, that doesn't mean when you necessarily talk to them, they confess Jesus. You know, you can say a lot of things, but they come professing Christ. They come professing Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So you're not going to be able to speak to those that are worldly, that do not want to listen or seek out God. They're not going to hear you. You're going to sound wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. That's how you're going to sound. So it's you're wasting your breath doing that. Now, someone who is trying to assess things spiritually and really seeking God, and you speak to them, and God speaks to them, and He is the author and finisher of your and my faith, your faith, my faith, and He authors faith in them, they can come to know. And that's what we see the picture all throughout Scripture in the book of Acts, where Paul would go and speak in the synagogues when he come into certain areas, or out on the riverbank when he was a place where there's no synagogues. He'd speak the truth, and many would be persuaded. Let me retract that. And a few would be persuaded. In some places, many. But for the most part, there was a few people persuaded to follow Christ, to make a commitment to Christ, up to including being baptized immediately upon their profession of faith. They want to follow Christ. Now, there's a lot of people who were following around listening. You know, as we see in John chapter 6, verse 66, when they heard some tough stuff, you know, that it was going to cost them, many turned and followed him no more. Many turned and followed him no more. Now, that's a scripture probably that you couldn't, if you say, I can't memorize scripture, I'm just really tough with that, I don't have a good memory. I think that if you're trying to listen to Christ, trying to know what it is that the Bible teaches, you can always remember that one. John chapter 6, verse 66. So it's John 666. See? You know, think about it. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. And it was about the seriousness of what it is to follow Christ. And it's a deep, deep thing. And so you just read the scriptures before that. And just remember to go to John chapter 6, verse 66, when he followed him no longer and find out why. Because it's tough to be a Christian. It really is. It's not an easy walk. It's very simple. Listen to me carefully. It's very simple to become a Christian. It's not easy. There is a difference between simple and easy. I could show you I think we call them Chinese yo-yos. It's like a little stick you hold, and then there's a ball attached by a string with a hole in the end of it. It's very simple what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to swing the ball up and put the little stick that's in your hand with a point on it into the hole that's in the ball. That's simple. It's very simple. That stick goes in that hole, and then it looks like a little rattle, like a baby's rattle or something. Simple. And once you learn how the trick of it, you can do it easier. But if you just try it the first time, it's simple but not easy. So there's many things about our faith in Christ that are simple, but they're not easy. They're not easy because it goes against everything you know. So like I said, we're gonna dive into this this next part of the scripture, and it's going to be chapter 7. I think we're going to go all the way through 21, chapter 7, or chapter 4, verse 7 through 21. Look at these verses, and we're going to see right after he said, be careful, because there's false ones out there. There's false prophets. There's people who are not believers, people who will not be believers, people who say they're spiritual, but guess what? They don't confess Christ. They talk about spiritual awakening and spiritual this and spiritual that and being spiritual, but they don't talk about Jesus from their own mouth. They don't confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, they might say he's a good guy, he's a neat dude, he's done a lot of stuff. You know, he's one of many prophets. There's a lot of things they can say, but he is God in human flesh. That Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He's from God. Come in the flesh is from God. He's from God. Very, very difficult to deal with some of those people. Anyway, we'll see you guys tomorrow or Monday. It depends on what happens here. We're usually doing the Monday through Thursday now because Friday's a little bit taken up with a Bible study here, which is awesome. So you guys have a wonderful weekend. If we aren't here tomorrow, have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you back here Monday. And Tuesday, depending on what happens. It's President's Day on Monday, so we'll see. But we'll probably get in there for a few minutes. You guys have a wonderful day, wonderful weekend, and just seek Jesus.